It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Philippians, studying from the 21st verse of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 21 through verse 30. So please, you'd open your Bibles today that we can join together and read together the precious Word of God. While you're opening your Bibles, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'd like to give you the address. It's Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church Street, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Please drop me a note. Any questions, anything that you want to visit about or discuss, most of all, I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. So if you have any questions about salvation, if you have any questions about being kept by the precious Jesus, and you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. If you have any questions about baptism, whatever it might be, but I just ask that you would let me know, write me and let me know any questions that you have, or maybe it's just a time of rejoicing. And I do get letters of folks that say they're enjoying the program and they enjoy studying the Word of God together with us. And anything, whatever you'd like to do, I'd love to hear from you today and any time, please, that you let me know. As you have opened your Bibles now, I want you to read along with me as I read from verse 21 through verse 30. Beginning to read, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming unto you again. Let only your conduct or your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evidence token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his precious word. Father, I thank you today that we can come together. I just praise you for the opportunity to study your precious word. Every time I open the word of God, I love it. I love studying it. It just to grow and to become more knowledgeable of your precious word. And then through your Holy Spirit that I can become wise in your word. Oh, Father, as I grow each day, that I will grow closer to you and know your word and be able to use your word to your glory, Father, that folks will be saved and folks will grow and feel the power, the strength, and the rest that they should in you. So please, Lord, that you will speak to the hearts today of everyone that's listening, and I ask that they will listen so carefully, listen to your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed this verse. Last week we kind of went off in a little bit different direction, if you remember, because of being Easter, and so we headed towards the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We discussed the death and the blood and the resurrection, looked at many verses of Scripture concerning that, and now we're back, and we kind of took off from the verse of verse 21, the very life and the things that fed and gave Paul his strength was through the Lord Jesus. And for him to make the statement, as verse 21 does, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, it's a joy to walk every day. I love to be a Christian. I love to walk every day. And we're going to discuss over here in verse 27 and verse 28 in this chapter 1 concerning the walk and the talk. But you know, it's a joy to be a Christian. There is nothing more exciting, nothing more joyful, nothing more peaceful, and nothing more restful than being a Christian. Now, if you're lacking in any of those areas, and maybe you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you need to get into the Word of God. Let that Word comfort your heart and grow you through this trial and tribulation. And there'll be other trials and tribulations that'll come. There'll be other times of testing that'll come. But each time you'll find yourself growing closer to the Lord Jesus, being lifted up and strengthened. And I ask that you search the Word of God. I ask that you find, first of all, salvation in Jesus Christ. You can find it throughout. The coming to Jesus Christ, the calling of coming to Jesus, begins in the beginning of Genesis and ends in Revelation. The full Word of God explains and talks about Jesus. We always talk about Jesus. We don't stop talking about Jesus. How Jesus died on the cross to save us. How Jesus gives us life, and not only gives us life here and now, but also gives us eternal life, and forever will be with the Lord. Paul lived that. Paul knew that to live was Christ. Oh, it's such a joy to live in Jesus Christ. It's something today that people, and it's just the day that we're living in, that people ignore the Word of God. They ignore the call of God. They ignore the precious study of the Word of God. They're lazy today. They believe that what they have is enough, and they're not interested in going further to enjoy that rest that Jesus gives. Last Wednesday night, we were just studying the book of Numbers. In chapter 32, turn the two numbers around, in chapter 32 of Numbers, and it's concerning Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, and how that they were asking Moses if they could stay on this side of the river. They were about to go into the land of promise, to the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised unto Abraham. And as the promise was handed down, and now they were at the gate, at the door of the promised land to go in. They'd been there once before, 40 years before. And they sent spies in. The spies came back with a report, did not trust in God, was not satisfied to follow by faith. And so they turned and went 40 years into the wilderness, and everyone at the age of 20 and older died. Now we have a new generation. That new generation now, again, is at the gate, is at the door of the promised land. But to be at the door of the promised land, now there's 2.5 tribes that are discussing with Moses, can we stay on this side? Now that's the way so many folks today in church. They come, they hear the Word of God, but they're willing to stay on this side. They're not willing to go into the Word of God and search the Word of God and come to the Bible studies and study that Word of God with other believers so that they can grow and enjoy the real rest that God has for us. That rest is beyond the Jordan. Well, these people here, those 2.5 tribes in Numbers chapter 32, and if you'd be here on Wednesday nights, you'd know what we were talking about. We had a real nice Bible study discussing back and forth why people refuse to actually reach out and get the rest, to be and have the rest of God. But you know, it's too bad, and it's very sad that people don't do that. Well, here we know that Paul did. Paul reached across that Jordan, and he received the rest that God had to give him, the desire of joy and the peace that he had. But the rest from his labor is so exciting because, you know, he worked very, very hard in furthering the gospel, in giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know, it's a lot of fun to proclaim the Word of God, and it's very difficult sometimes for me to get everything done between the job that I have and the church and the Bible studies that we have. But you know, it's a joy to do that. You know, it's a joy to sit down and to study and to search the Word of God. And any time that for one reason or another that I miss an opportunity to hear the Word of God, to attend a Bible study, I don't like it because I love being in the Word of God. And I love studying the Word of God. I love teaching the Word of God. And I love other people to teach the Word of God so I can sit and listen. It's a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Paul here, in the condition he's in Rome, he's in prison, and yet he can say with all of his heart, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain," because he knows that he can go right and be and see face to face the Lord Jesus. And it continues in verse 22. We've been through some of these verses. It's exciting to study this precious word and to read it over and over again. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I know not. for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul knew that there was some work that he needed to do yet, and he says, okay, I'll stay. It's up to the Lord anyway, and whenever he wants to take me. But if he decides and chooses to desire to keep me here, praise the Lord, I'll sit down, I'll work with you, I'll help you. And oh, if that would be the heart and the mind of the pastors in the churches today, if that would be the heart and the mind of the members of the churches today, that they were always willing to be there and to help in all they could. They were there each hour of every day to help and to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to watch folks saved. The faithfulness of the church today is terrible. People are so busy with the world that they miss the peace and the joy and the rest that Jesus has for us. They miss it. And it's much like, again, these 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh decided to stay on this side of the river and not cross the Jordan into the promised land. Oh, my friend, please don't miss that. You have no idea what Paul's talking about here. I haven't lived through the time that Paul lived, but I do know the joy that he's speaking of. I do know the excitement that he's talking about. I know the peace that he speaks of. I know the eternal joy through salvation, Jesus Christ, that he's talking about. And I know the rest, the physical, spiritual rest that you have in Jesus Christ. I know what he's talking about. I've experienced it. I know it. I live it. And I want you to do the same. Please don't be satisfied, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, to stay on the wrong side of the river. Oh, yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you'll always be saved, but you'll never feel the security of Jesus Christ, the peace and the joy that's there. And here he says, it's more needful for you if I stay. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Do you hear anything there that speaks of something that Paul wants? You know, so often you hear people and they come to church or they come to Bible study or they come to some activity sometime, and they always want something. They're there because they want something. And if they don't get it, if it's not quite as exciting as it should be, or they don't quite think they learned what they should have learned, or whatever the reason or excuse might be, but you know, you don't ever hear that with Paul, do you? You notice that? And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy. When are you going to start giving? When are you going to start giving and stop taking? Oh, I love the Word of God. I study the Word of God. I take that Word in, and I enjoy it, and I praise the Lord with it. But my friend, there's an awful lot of work that needs to be done today. The time is very short, and I don't know how many days, months, or years that I have to live. I'm not sure how long it's going to be before the Lord tarries, before he comes back to get his church. I don't believe it's very far away. And I'll tell you what, we need to get busy. We need to stop sitting back. And you hear me say many times that folks today are lazy. You may be the hardest worker in the world, but if you're ignoring the work of God, things that of God's house that needs to be dealt with, the furtherance of the gospel and the giving of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, if you're ignoring that, then you've missed it. You've missed what I'm talking about. I'm telling you to get busy. I'm telling you to put one thing first and foremost, and that's the power and the presence of God in your life. And then let him lead you where you need to be and what you need to be doing. That'll take care of your family. That'll take care of your home, your church. That'll take care of you at work. Everything will come together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We give God our extra time. We don't give him our best time. We give him what's left over of our money. We don't give him the first of our money and then spend the rest that we have on our needs and things. We take first what we need, and then if there be something left over, we do that with our money and we do that with our time. Stop stealing from God. Paul never did. He said, "It is, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance." Paul was a man that gave. And he was giving and giving and giving. Even when he was in prison, he was still giving. Please stop being selfish. Start giving to others. Start taking the love that God's given you and give it out, please. I want you to have this joy, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Verse 26. Do you hear the words of Paul? Paul said, "I'm willing to give. I'm going to give for the furtherance and joy of your faith. I'm going to give that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. I'm going to give." You know, that's the reason we have this program. We give out the Word of God for you to hear the truth. There's a reason why we call this radio program The Truth. Because much like what we have in the verse 27, it says, "May you hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind." To be one in Jesus Christ, you must stay and stand upon one, and that is Jesus, and that is His precious Word, the truth. That's the reason we call this program The Truth. We search the Word of God, we study the Word of God, and we proclaim the Word of God. Now, a lot of things you may disagree with. We'll take it up with God because that's what His precious Word says. Don't give me this line that, "Larry, that's your opinion." That's what the Word of God says. I'm giving you out the Word of God. Take it up with God if you've got a problem with it. You have to answer to Him. I have to answer to Him. When I tell you something, I believe it to be the total, complete truth, the Word of God. And I do have to answer to God. But I ask you that you stop complaining and start agreeing and start studying and searching and being sold out for Jesus Christ. Verse 26 again, "that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." If that's going to help you, I'm there. If that's going to help, I'm coming again. I'd rather go home. I'd rather be home with Jesus, face to face with Him. And, you know, to whether Paul made it back to Philippi or not, the desire of his heart, the prayer of his heart, the discussion that he had with them to keep them in the truth and in the Word of God. Listen to verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent." You see, he didn't know. He didn't know for sure whether he could come or not. He knew he'd love to, but he didn't know if he'd get to or not. And again, he said, "Only let your conversation be as it is becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That's a beautiful verse of Scripture. That's a powerful verse of Scripture. And it's a verse of Scripture that many people ignore. Many people have no understanding of what that's saying. It begins with a couple of words, and that is that, no, to start with, your walk and your talk. Your walk and your talk needs to be together. And not only together, you need to be walking in one direction, you need to be speaking of that same direction, and that direction must be upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must walk after Jesus. We must talk after Jesus. We have to be of one mind, of one spirit, of one mind. Now, please, that you understand the need. You know, that's you could hear the greatest preacher in the world could come to your church and preach the greatest message that you've ever heard. But if for some reason that man's walk and what he just got done preaching wasn't together and was not of Christ, it doesn't matter how good. How, you know, I hear that all the time. Oh, you know, it can be a liberal church that one hasn't preached the gospel for years. They don't even know how about salvation, how to be saved. They don't know anything about that. And yet you hear people say, oh, you know, did you hear, maybe it's a funeral service that they attended or something like that, or a special service of some sort. And they went and said, oh, that preaching was great. That man doesn't even believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How can it be great? Well, maybe he was a very good speaker. Maybe he was very powerful in his presentation. But my friend, it was helpless, hopeless, and it was worthless if you do not do it in the power upon the truth, the Word of God. To be of one spirit and of one mind, that your walk and your talk must be together. If you want to give Satan some fuel, you just separate those two. You speak one thing and say, oh, Jesus saves, but your walk doesn't show that. You don't show that you're walking closer to Jesus every day, that you're walking a separated holy life unto the Lord Jesus. It doesn't show that. Well, then what you're saying when you tell those people that you need to stop being a sinner, and the only way you can stop that is by coming to Jesus Christ, because he tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's quit. Let's stop living the life of sin and wickedness, and let's turn to Jesus. And if you're sitting there and you're pleading with somebody and you're talking to them about coming to your Savior Jesus Christ, but your life, your walk, your talk is as ungodly and as unholy as what theirs is. They said, what are they talking about? He says, God's done a miracle in my life. What miracle? You're no witness. Maybe your language, maybe your conduct, whatever that you're doing that's not pleasing unto the Lord. And he's saying here, Paul's saying here, that I want to hear, if I don't make it, whether I come or not, it doesn't matter. I want to, but if I come or not, it doesn't matter. But what really matters is that I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear what's going on. And you know, too often, why you make a statement that maybe there's a common friend that you have, and you say, yes, they go to church with me. And you know, awful quick, they even back up, and you can tell by their look, by their countenance, that they didn't even know that person went to church. Let alone you were telling them about Jesus, how Jesus saves. And maybe you were explaining how this person had been saved and how their life had changed. But you see, out in the world, they didn't see that changed life. Maybe they were acting different at church, but they're living like a devil outside the church. They have no witness. They have no testimony. And Paul says, only let your conversation... Now, your conversation here, again, you could use the word conduct. You could place it. It's the way of life. It's the way you live. Oh, many times I've let Jesus down. I've done things that he has not been pleased with. But I've went to him and I've asked him to forgive me. And I've asked him to set my life closer to his with the walk and the talk that matches what Jesus wants me to have. Let only let your conversation or your conduct or your way of life, your walk and your talk, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Do you see what the goal? Do you see what you're to set your eyes and your heart upon? It said they should becometh the gospel of Christ. becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, in Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2, we have Paul once again. I therefore the prisoner, Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Let me read that again for you. We're talking about something, a conduct. We're talking about a conversation. We're talking about a way of life. We're talking about the walk and the talk that you have. And here's again what Paul said. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy of it. Think about what you're doing. How about that friend that you work with? Does he see Jesus in you? Does a report come back to other church members or to the preacher of the church that you're witnessing to him? Or do you compromise and do you do something with him on Wednesday night or with her on Wednesday night or on Sunday night or Sunday when there's something else going on at church and you ought to be at church and that ought to be some of your witness and testimony that, I'm sorry I can't help you tonight. I'm sorry we can't go to town tonight. I'm sorry we can't bowl tonight. I'm sorry, and goes on and on and on with the list, but say, I'm sorry I can't do that because I'll tell you what, there's something much more important to me. I got to go to the house of God tonight. I got to be in the house of God tonight because I want to hear the Word of God. I want to come closer to Jesus. I want to visit in fellowship with those other folks because I love them. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not going to miss being there. People look today and miss so many things. Walk worthy of the vocation with all long-suffering and meekness and lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, you're not doing much forbearing because most of you aren't here. You come when you feel like it. You come when you have time. You come when you have an opportunity. Oh, please. Please, will you look at your children? Will you look at the need that you have to, you must be in the house of God, that they can see how important it is to you, because I tell you what, there's 1,000 things out there that's going to draw them away. And if you don't show them how important it is to sit under the truth and to be convicted by the Word of God and visit and fellowship over the Word of God, there ain't nobody else out there going to show them. And before very long, they're going to realize that your walk and your talk's not the same. You're saying it's important, but it's not. The Scripture says, do not forsake the assembling, but you do. My friend, think about it. I want you to look very carefully at your walk. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We're to live Christ. We're to walk with Christ. We're to talk Christ. Everything is Jesus. And I'll tell you what, if you want the power and the strength in your life, you'll look to Jesus. You'll look very close to the Lord Jesus. Now please, as we've studied through these scripture verses, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul understands. He wants these people to have a beautiful walk with Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, because I want the same, what are you going to do about Jesus?